The gift of being patient.
Patient.
Now, I got to tell you, I wasn't there that day when he gave out patience, because I just don't have patience. Now, you probably have lots of patience. But I got to tell you, sometimes I'm a little short on patience. And the price for that can be extremely severe. And if sometimes you catch yourself without a lot of patience, you know that the price for that can be somewhat severe at times. So think about it this way. That truck's in front of you, and you're going down this road, and he's in front of you. And he's going about 10 miles an hour, because, you know, that's not a great-looking truck. It's an old truck. It looks like it's been around a few years, if not centuries. And he's in front of you on this gorgeous, winding road. And you're driving whatever it is you're driving, and you just want to rip loose on this road. And there's this truck in front of you. And it's just, you can't get around him. You can't get around him. And you know you can't go on his driver's side because of those silly double yellow lines. And you think, well, wait a minute. The line on the right side is not yellow. It's white. Yellow means no, but white implies peace, serenity, purity. So maybe if I look on the passenger side, get the car over, I can zoom around on the right, on the left-hand side. That'd be great. But you can't do that either, because you can see there's just like no room to get around this truck. So you're following the truck, and you just got behind him, and you pass a little road sign that said, curvy roads the next 35 miles. And you're behind this truck. Are you going to be patient? Are you going to get right up behind that truck so he's just like right there, just pushing him, like you're going to make him go faster, right? You know he doesn't have any brake lights. So if he even touches the brake, boom, you're right there with him. Or are you just going to kind of hang back, turn on the radio, take a deep breath, and enjoy the scenery as you're following this truck? Because you see, it's gorgeous, isn't it? Look at that beautiful scenery. Which one are you? Are you going to be patient? Are you going to be impatient? The truck asks you the question. Got patience? Because if you're following me, baby, you better have some patience, because I don't go fast. And I'm all over the road because this truck is old. It's hard to steer. So if you're following me, God bless you. I got to tell you that I'd probably be all over the back end of that truck. You know, if I could just get close enough to the back end of that truck, it's as if I could make him go faster. But the danger is you get so close, he can't see you in those two mirrors. So he loses the message. So you might as well stay a safe distance back. We're going to look at the scripture quickly, because I just want to use the scripture to lay out a particular set of circumstances and a particular event that we read. And to see how easy it is to become impatient. And then we'll define patience, and we'll look at it theologically and how to nurture our own sense of being patient. Verses 1 to 4. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would not tell you this. I'll come and take you when it's time. I'll receive you when it's time. You know where I'm going." Now remember, he's talking to the 12. And so he says to them, y'all know where I'm going, right? And Thomas is there, and he scratches his head, and he's like, well, you know, just to kind of be honest with you, we don't know where you're going. So if we don't know where you're going, how are we going another way? Like, are you trying to say like are you leaving Jerusalem and going somewhere? Are you going like back to the dead? Where are you going? See, Thomas is thinking secular. He's thinking earthly. He's thinking tangible. He's thinking right now. You're talking about going somewhere, but you're not telling us where, but you're implying that we should know how to get there. But we can't know how to get there until you at least give us a clue where you're going. And so you can hear some frustration in Thomas's question and maybe even in his voice. And man, come on, if you want us to know this stuff, you got to give us more information, okay? So Jesus says, okay, I gotcha. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, Thomas? I'm the way. So he gives him a profound theological statement. He says, this is it, buddy. You're confused. Here's the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And this shouldn't be hard for you to understand this, because if you really know me, then you know my dad. So this is not hard stuff, Thomas. This is easy. This is easy. And from now on, you do know him, and you've seen him. Because you know me, and you've seen me, and we spent some years together, and you now know the Father. And Jesus may have been feeling really proud right about now, because you know he said the stuff in verses 1 to 4. Thomas had a little bit of an issue with it. Jesus comes back. He responds to it. And he kind of takes a deep breath and says, but you know what? From now on, y'all have got it. You've got it. Praise God, you got it. And then Philip says, oh, excuse me. I'm a little confused. I don't get any of this. Could you just show us the Father? So we don't have to guess? I mean, instead of trying to see him in you or hear him through you, can you just, like, show him to us? And if you show him to us, we got it. We got it. And so you see, Philip is like, a little confused, too. He's like, he's trying hard, but he's like, oh, I don't just get the you and me and you and the Father. That's too much. Too much. So Jesus takes a deep breath, and he says, okay, do you not know me, Philip? We've been together all these years, man. Well, what are you thinking? I've been with you for such a long time. Are you trying to say that you don't know me? And Philip, anyone who sees me, seen my dad. Anyone who's seen me, seen the Father. How can you say, Philip, come on, think. How can you say, show us the Father? We've been together all these years. I've taught you. I've shared with you. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've done cool things together. How can you say that? And so in his answer, you can hear some frustration on Jesus' part, maybe. It's like, come on, man. After all these times together, after these years, how can you say that? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? And so he just asks a very simple question of faith. Do you believe the Father's in me and I'm in the Father? Do you believe that or do you not believe that? So he's starting off very simple, and he's asking him some very simple questions. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own. You guys remember this, right? I've told you this before. That when I speak under the authority of the Father. And so the words I speak are not my words, they're my Father's words. The things I do are not the things I do, but the things the Father does through me. So I'm really here speaking, doing the work of my Father. So you hear my words, you hear the Father's words. You see me, you see him. Does that make sense? Well, yeah, sort of. And just to make sure they get it, he says, okay, now believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Believe in faith what I've said to you. Just believe me, please. Or if you can't believe me, then for heaven's sakes, believe what you can see with your own two eyes. Do you remember the night Nicodemus came to see me? Remember that? They said, yeah, like, no, not really, but go ahead. Remember, he came and he said to me at night, we know, Rabbi, you are a man of God because we've seen the things you do. So if you can't believe in faith by what I'm telling you, for heaven's sake, so believe at least by what you see with your own two eyes. We've walked together. We've done all this stuff together. At least try to believe with what you've experienced, for heaven's sakes. Think hard. Think. Do you remember the time we did this? Do you remember the time we went over here and talked to these people? Do you remember all that stuff? Just try to believe that there's a connection between me and the Father. Somehow I'm doing the Father's work by what you've seen. Even Nicodemus got it. You guys are like clueless. Help me here. It's a great, great story. And within the context of the event, we can see there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of misunderstanding, and there's a huge opportunity for impatience. Thomas could get very impatient with Jesus because he's talking about this place he's going. He won't tell him where he's going. And Philip can get very, very impatient with Jesus because, doggone, if you just show us your Father, we'll have it. We got it. But you keep talking around in circles with all these funny sayings and things. And that's just getting really old. And it's just making us very impatient with you. Just spit it out, man. Just tell us what you want us to know, for heaven's sakes. Quit talking like this. And you can see that they would both become very impatient. And you can see it'd be very easy for Jesus to become very impatient after spending all this time with these guys, and they still don't get it. They still don't get it. Patience. When I looked up patience as for a definition, I found tons and tons and tons of definitions. And they were all really long and verbose and hard to understand, all that kind of stuff. And then I found this one. Dealing with life stuff calmly. Dealing with life stuff calmly. So when you're behind that truck on that gorgeous road and you're sitting in your car just waiting to cut loose and fly down that road, it's dealing with that truck calmly. Backing away from it, slowing down, turning on the radio, looking at the trees, calming down. It's dealing with life stuff calmly. But theologically, it goes deeper than that. On the Old Testament side of things, with patience mostly referred to the people waiting on God with expectant hope. So Moses is waiting on God. Aaron waiting on God. Abraham waiting on God. The children of Israel trying to get to the promised land are waiting on God. And we have this expectant hope that when God finally reveals himself or finally comes to them, great things will happen. So for them, the essence of patience is simply waiting on God. Go to the New Testament side. And the implication of patience on the New Testament side from Peter and from Paul is mostly demonstrating a sense of endurance or steadfastness. And Peter writes in 1st or 2nd Peter, can't remember which one it is, but blessed are you under persecution and you stay steadfast in your faith. You endure. You stay solid in your faith. So on the New Testament side, patience is mostly talking about endurance, standing strong in your faith. You put them both together and kind of weave them together, and theologically then patience can simply be the exercise of steadfastness, which means standing firm in your faith, which is what the psalmist wrote for us. Standing firm in your faith. You're not kind of falling back by what's going on around you. You're not getting weak. You're not caving in. You're standing steadfast in your faith, and you are waiting on God with a great sense of hopefulness when God shows and reveals the works of God. Patience, theologically. And it'd be great if it just stopped there. But we're going to break it into two different realms. The first one's with people. Have you ever become impatient with people? Don't answer that. People, not all of you, but other people, sometimes have you noticed that they just don't do or say or act the way they should? That when you're with them, like in the store or someplace in line or something like that, they don't act and say and do the things that you think that they should act, say, or do. And pretty soon, that causes frustration and anger and disappointment. And pretty soon, you could just become very, very impatient with them. Because they just won't do what they're supposed to do. If they would just do it. You could be patient with them. Very patient. The result of that is, it diminishes our perspective of others. It diminishes our perspective of them. Because if they would just do or say or be what you think they should say, do, or be, we could honor them. We could welcome them. But when they won't do that, we begin to see less about them. We begin to make them lesser. And when we make them less, we make ourselves more. So we just kind of diminish them. And the more we diminish them, the higher we raise ourselves because they're just so far below us. And we get very impatient with them. We dismiss them. Just dismiss them. What do they know? And then we turn to who knows everything. Us. Ourselves. And the distance gets greater and greater and greater and greater. Because we're impatient sometimes. So if we're not dealing with people, guess who else we're going to have to deal with? God. And sometimes God, bless his heart, he just doesn't do, say, or act the way he's supposed to, according to us. Because I pray for this thing, and nothing happens. Or I talk about something with him, and it's like talking to nobody. I present him with this stuff, and there's like no response. And so I want God to do this, this, or this. I want God to respond to me. I want God to speak to me. I want to hear his voice. And it's like nothing, just nothing. And he just doesn't do all the things I think he should do or I want him to do. And pretty soon, you know what happens? I get frustrated. I get angry. I get disappointed. I grow impatient with God because he's just not doing what he's supposed to do according to Kip Younger. And the result of that is it diminishes our faith. Because God seems distant, disengaged, apathetic. Pray and pray and pray, and it's like, oh, it's nothing. Just nothing. Where is he? What's he doing? Doesn't he pay attention? Isn't this important to him? And all those goofy thoughts pretty soon begin to eat away at the faith. And the more it eats away at the faith, the more impatient I can become. Say, well, which one's the most critical to becoming patient? It's with God. It's with God. Because once I become impatient with God, now it's very likely that I'm going to become impatient with pretty much everything that doesn't go my way. People, events, whatever. Because the more distant I feel God, and the more impatient I am with him, the more I can push him away in my faith. And the more I push him away, then the only place of strength and reliance that my goofy little mind will take me is to me. God's not handling this, so I've got to handle this. God doesn't care, so I've got to do it. God's not paying attention, so I've got to do this. And the more I begin to rely on me instead of my faith in God, then the more skeptical and disapproving I'm going to be of people who also just don't seem to measure up. And so pretty soon, I'm just a mess. I'm just a basket case. I'm all messed up because I've become impatient. When Jesus was with the 12, you could hear the frustration with Thomas, Philip, and perhaps Jesus. But he didn't lose his patience. He didn't lose his patience. Can you imagine spending these years with them and just saying very simplistic things to them and getting these responses back that kind of say, you know, we don't really know you. We don't really get it. Yeah, we've walked with you for a couple years now, but you know, you just seem to say things that are so off the wall, so bizarre. Man, we just aren't getting this stuff. Can you imagine? I mean, it'd been so much easier for him just to throw up his hands and say, I'm done with you people. I'm done with you people. Are you kidding me? You are the worst 12 people I could have possibly chosen. A bunch of loser fishermen, a bunch of loser tax collectors, a bunch of losers, 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 together. You put you 12 together, and you don't have enough common sense to make one good brain. What did I pick you people for? On and on. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He didn't get right up on the rear end of that truck and try to push it. He just backed off a little bit. He didn't lose his patience with them. He accepts their confusion. And you can see it in the reading. Doesn't get upset. Takes a deep breath. Okay, Thomas, through all these years, I can see you'd be a little confused. Let me remind you, I'm the way. I'm the way. Remember, we've talked about this. Thomas, yes? Philip? We've talked about this. You see me, you see my dad. So he accepts their confusion, and then he challenges their thinking by asking them questions, giving them deep theological statements. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so he embraces their confusion, he accepts that, he challenges their thinking, and then he leads them further with encouragement. He doesn't rebuke them, he doesn't get smart with them, doesn't get stupid with them, he doesn't say anything nasty or arrogant to them. He just kind of embraces them. So, okay, take a deep breath. Here's the real deal, guys. Here's the way it works. You remember this stuff? And he leads them through encouragement. He leads them through encouragement. And that's so critical because that's exactly what he wants to do for me, and it's exactly what he wants to do for you. And that's why this is a gift, because God realizes that patience in my life is absolutely critical to my life, especially in my relationship with him. Because if I lose patience with him, I'm pretty much losing patience with every aspect of my life. It's critical in relationships with other people, and it's critical in relationships with God. It's just critical. It's just critical because the minute I begin to lose patience, I push those people down and I raise myself up, be it people or God. It's critical in my relationship with other people. It's my relationship with God. It's critical because of God's patience with me. You don't know how patient God is with me. And I'm not going to tell you because that'd be way too much information. But he's incredibly patient with me. He's just incredibly patient with me. Oh my gosh. Just incredibly impatient. He probably looks down at me and says, I can't believe you're doing that again. I can't believe you just said that. You just said that 10 minutes ago. You just acted like that 10 minutes ago. And you said, oh, this is a sin. Please forgive me, Mom. I said, but now you're doing it again. I just can't believe you're doing this. He's just so patient. Patient with me. And if I'm going to model Christ, then I have to model that too. I have to be patient. What if it was true that every time you made God angry, he just reached down and smacked you one? Hey, take that. I'm tired of dealing with. But he doesn't. He doesn't. He's like, well, he's done it again. Dang, that boy's got a hard head. What are we going to do with him? It's critical because it keeps us from turning from God. If I can remain patient in God, then through my faith, I'm saying, God, I don't know where you're at. I don't know why you're not answering. I don't know why you don't call, email, or text me. I don't know why you're not responding to this stuff. But you know what? You know what? I can't deal with this stuff any better. So in my faith, I'm going to remain true to you and let you deal with this. But you got to know, you just got to know you're really pushing my patience here. You're really pushing my patience. But I'm going to try as hard as I can to be patient and watch you work, God, and let you surprise me. Whatever it is you decide to do with this mess I've caused, I'm going to do my best to be patient. Because I know that if I just leave you and turn to myself, I'm just going to make this so much worse. I'm going to say something stupid. I'm going to act stupid. I'm going to behave stupid. I'm going to make somebody mad and it hurt their feelings. So I'm just going to leave this and I'm going to try all my best to be patient with you as you are with me. So that sounds really good, and we all want to have the essence of patience in our lives, and we have it because we're children of God, and it's a gift of God that he gives to us. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's a little weak. So how do we nurture the patience? How do we nurture it then? Romans 12:3, Paul says, don't you think too much of yourself. Don't you think too much of yourself. Because once you begin to think too much of yourself, you know what you're doing? Hey, old Kip Younger's just raising himself up. And when he raises himself, he pushes other people down. He raises himself up, he thinks too much of himself, he pushes down his relationship with God. And he is easily made impatient, and he decides to take care. So Paul says, don't you think too much of yourself. Turn it around. Make it the other way. Don't you think too much of yourself. Because that's the greatest way to lose your patience, is to think too much of yourself. Romans 8:23. We know in some profound, crazy way that we usually cannot even begin to understand that all things work together for the good of those who love God and called according to his purpose. And so that says to me, okay, listen, I don't understand that. I know I probably had a big role in that, and I probably even caused that, but I don't understand and I don't know what to do about it. But Romans 8:28 says, okay, then step back, keep your faith, be patient, Because eventually, all things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. I believe I'm called by God and according to His purpose. So that means that somehow that's going to be taken care of. Somehow. God's going to deal with it, or He's going to teach me to deal with it, or He's going to work through me, or He's going to bring somebody else into my life to deal with that. But if I lose patience with God, and I try to go over here and do this thing and fix this thing, now it's 100 times worse. And so I just got to believe in my faith, yet yes, He will take care of this somehow, because He works for the good. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, no eye has ever seen, ear has ever heard, mind has ever conceived the things of God for your life. And so don't you see, if I'm over here trying to work with this thing because I'm so impatient with God because He just never shows up, He doesn't answer my prayers, He doesn't do much of anything that I can really, really see, so I'm going to take care of this myself. Paul's saying, wait a minute, stop! God has things in store for your life that you've never seen, you've never heard, your little pea brain can't even begin to imagine the wondrous creativity of God in your life. So don't mess with that. God's got a way to work through this stuff with you. And it's going to go so far, He's going to do things you've never thought about or heard of or seen. So just relax. Be patient. Stay calm. Trust God. Isaiah, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. And my ways, thanks be to God, are not your ways. And so that tells me that whatever I want to do with this, what I'm thinking about this, God's like, oh, whoa, be patient, stop, be calm. I can deal with that in a way you can't possibly imagine right now, because I don't think about it like you do. You're thinking about it in this direction, but don't you understand that I think about it in a totally different realm? And so my thoughts are different, my actions are going to be different, and you can't see, hear, or imagine what they're going to be. So don't mess with that. Be calm, be patient with me, and let me show you what I want to do. And the last one is to remain humble, and I should say obedient. Humble and obedient. Well, what's that got to do with anything? Patience is a virtue, yes? Yes. A virtue is a good and righteous moral thing. So patience is a good, righteous moral thing. However, patience doesn't stand as a virtue alone. It blossoms out of two other virtues, humility and obedience. If I'm humble and I'm obedient, humble before God and obedient to God, I will be patient. Because if I'm humble, I won't think so much of myself. I'll think more of God and people than I do myself, so I have to stay humble. If I'm going to be obedient to God and follow those scriptures and just let Him work in my life and just stay calm, be obedient, be quiet, let Him work, be still and wait on Him, don't you see that nurtures patience? But if I lose my humility, now I'm going to lose my patience. If I become disobedient, I've long been impatient. I have to have both in order to have patience. So now you're behind that truck. And someone's riding with you and they say, hey, have you got patience? You sit back in that truck and says, you got patience? And you say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because I am a child of God. I'm an heir to the kingdom of heaven. I'm a co-heir of everything Jesus Christ is ever going to receive. I was made in the image of God. So, yes, I've received the wonderful gifts of God in my life. I believe in God. I believe in my faith. I believe in the scriptures that He wants to nurture my patience. So, yeah, I can find patience. Not very good at it all the time. But, yeah, I can find some patience here. I can find some patience. And, you know, the really good thing is, the exciting thing is, that when we step back, when we just step back, take a deep breath, and remain calm, and we watch and wait with expectant results that are hopeful from God, we'll see them. And we'll see God move in our lives in ways we've never thought possible. If we just step back and be patient and wait on God, we'll see God do things we never thought possible. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen God do something in your life? You just can't, oh, wow, how did He do that? Yes. Yes. From big, serious things to the silly little trivial things. It's just stepping back and being calm and patient And something happens, like, wow, how did that happen? It must have been God. Ooh, who'd have known? Who'd have thought? God. So you got patience? Yeah. Yeah. Because I want to see what God's going to do. I know what I would do, but I want to see what God's going to do. I want to see. I want to see my faith become reality and see what God's going to do. Join me in patience and in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for the gift of patience that draws us near to you. Patience is a stimulus to our faith. People will look at us, they will not understand why we're so patient. You will look at us and nurture that patience so we can be the reflection of Christ in us. As he was the reflection of you, we want to be the reflection of him. Help nurture our patience. We pray and we ask in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.